Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Mike Radish, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to another episode of SITREP Israel, an automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITREP was generated on Tuesday, the 5th of May 2026 at 17:53 Israel time, 14:53 UTC. Iran strikes UAE again as US and Israel weigh new strikes. Here is the bottom line. Iran struck the United Arab Emirates for a second consecutive day on Tuesday, hitting a petroleum facility in Fujairah and wounding three people, in a major escalation that has pushed the fragile ceasefire to the brink. The U.S. intercepted projectiles and sank six Iranian small boats, while two American destroyers transited the Strait of Hormuz under fire. U.S. and Israeli officials are reportedly coordinating potential new strikes on Iranian energy sites and senior figures, and the U.S. is circulating a draft U.N. Security Council resolution on the strait. In Lebanon, Hezbollah launched a wave of drone, missile, and artillery attacks on IDF positions, and the IDF killed two Hezbollah operatives with an FPV drone. In Gaza, the IDF eliminated a Nukba commander who infiltrated the Nova Music Festival on October 7th. Across the regional picture in Iran, the U.S. escort operation marked the first military vessels to cross the Iranian blockade since it was imposed. The destroyers USS Truxtun and USS Mason came under fire from missiles, drones, and small boats. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Dan Kane disclosed that Iran has attacked nine ships, seized two tankers, and struck U.S. forces more than 10 times since the ceasefire began, but said these actions remain, in his words, below the threshold required to start a significant operation at this point. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth stated the ceasefire is not over and that the U.S. is not looking for a fight, while describing the blockade as a powerful red, white, and blue dome. On the planning front, CNN reported that Israel is coordinating with the U.S. on a potential new round of strikes focusing on energy facilities and the elimination of senior Iranian officials. The UN Security Council is set to hold a closed-door consultation on the UAE attacks on Wednesday. Iranian rhetoric sharpened further. IRGC Deputy Commander for Political Affairs General Yadollah Javani claimed the U.S. has failed to reverse the new reality in the Strait of Hormuz. Parliament Speaker Mohammed Bakir Khalibaf warned the situation is becoming unbearable for the U.S. and that Tehran has not even started yet. A senior advisor to Supreme Leader Khamenei's office reportedly threatened that Iran could strike Europe, calling it very fragile. On the economic front, an S&P Global Energy report warned that even if the strait reopens, it will take at least 7 months to restore full oil and gas production. Oil prices fell 2-3% on ceasefire rhetoric, but backwardation remains extreme. In Lebanon, Hezbollah launched a series of attacks on Israeli forces in the south. The group claimed to have targeted a gathering of Israeli vehicles and soldiers in Al-Bayada, with an attack drone and artillery, a military vehicle near Al-Qantara with a loitering glider, and a Merkava tank with a guided missile. The IDF confirmed that Hezbollah launched several explosive drones, an anti-tank guided missile, and detonated explosive devices near Israeli troops. No injuries were. Hezbollah also claimed a confirmed hit on an Israeli helicopter over Al-Bayada with a surface-to-air missile, though the IDF did not confirm this. The Israeli Air Force intercepted a hostile aerial target over southern Lebanon before it crossed into Israeli territory, and sirens sounded in Misgav Am. Israeli warplanes carried out airstrikes on Beit Yahoun, Safad al-Batuk, and Bayat al-Sayyad, while artillery shelling targeted several other locations. The IDF released footage of an FPV drone strike that killed two armed Hezbollah operatives identified near Israeli forces by reservists of the 226th Paratroopers Brigade. The operatives were struck while attempting to flee on a motorcycle. Israeli media highlighted the growing operational impact of Hezbollah's fiber-optic drones, which are highly maneuverable and jam-proof. Since the ceasefire, Hezbollah has launched 70 explosive drones, killing five soldiers and wounding 33. On the diplomatic side, Lebanese President Joseph Aoun said he is not interested in meeting Prime Minister Netanyahu before Israeli strikes end. Former Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri condemned the UAE attack as a clear message targeting the civilizational and political opposite of the Iranian regime. In Gaza, the IDF eliminated Anas Mohammed Ibrahim Hamed, a Nukba commander in Hamas who infiltrated Israeli territory and the Nova Music Festival during the October 7th massacre. He was killed in a precise aerial strike in the central Gaza Strip after posing an imminent threat to IDF troops. In the north, troops struck an armed Hamas terrorist cell near the Yellow Line on Tuesday, and on Monday identified five terrorists approaching the line who were struck by the Air Force. Palestinian sources reported several injuries from an Israeli strike on Al-Nusra neighborhood in eastern Gaza, and a young girl was injured by Israeli gunfire in a displacement camp in Al-Burey. Separately, an Israeli court remanded two Gaza flotilla activists, Spanish national Saif Abu Keshek and Brazilian Tiago Avila, until Sunday. Avila's lawyer claimed he was on a fishing trip and never planned to break the blockade. Released activists alleged torture in Israeli detention. In the West Bank, Israeli settlers, under police protection, stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Settlers also released livestock onto Palestinian lands near Rujum Ili in Masafer Yatta, south of Hebron. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich said he promised his son there would be more destruction in Lebanon, and that his son asked him not to finish the work so there would be something left to do. On the multilateral track, the U.S. is distributing a draft resolution on the Strait of Hormuz, co-sponsored with Gulf states, that could include sanctions or authorization of force. Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif strongly condemned the attacks on UAE civilian infrastructure. The U.S. also proposed a post-conflict maritime coalition for the Strait, suggesting coordination with the Franco-British mission and including Bahrain. Prime Minister Netanyahu, during his court testimony, said he spoke with four heads of state and President Trump in the past 24 hours, as well as with the CEO of the Board of Peace, on what he called interesting developments in Gaza. In the UK, Prime Minister Keir Starmer held a summit with Jewish community leaders, calling anti-Semitic attacks a crisis for all of us. The Board of Deputies of British Jews presented steps to bolster community security and said leaders must now prove their commitment with action. Elsewhere, Jordanian warplanes carried out strikes on at least five locations in the Syrian governorate of Suweida on May 2nd, targeting drug trafficking sites in an operation codenamed Jordanian Deterrence. Iraq's reliance on oil exports through the now-closed Strait of Hormuz may spell financial disaster, with over 94% of exports passing through the strait. Iraq is envisioning new pipelines, but they are likely a pipe dream. In Washington, 29 Democratic members of Congress demanded that President Trump disclose whether Israel possesses nuclear weapons, and President Trump threatened to increase tariffs on EU cars and trucks from 15 to 25%. Moving to the analysis, first the trend, the tempo has sharply accelerated from a simmering ceasefire to a two-day kinetic exchange between Iran and the US and UAE. In the trailing 7 days, the protagonist set shifted from Israel-Hezbollah skirmishes to a direct Iran-US confrontation over the Strait of Hormuz. The same actors, Iran, the US, Israel, are driving the escalation, but the center of gravity has moved from Lebanon to the Gulf. The ceasefire is now a legal fiction, with both sides testing thresholds. On the information environment, the U.S. is pushing a narrative of restrained enforcement. Hegseth's not-over-ceasefire framing and Kane's below-the-threshold language aim to keep the diplomatic track alive while justifying military action. Iran's camp frames the U.S. as failing to reverse a new reality and warns of unbearable costs. The gap between reporting and evidence is widest around the ceasefire status. Both sides claim it holds while exchanging fire. The U.S. framing is winning in Western media, but Iran's narrative of defiance resonates in the region, exploiting Gulf state anxieties about U.S. reliability. And the synthesis: the U.S. is deliberately managing escalation below the threshold of war to avoid a congressional authorization debate while building a multilateral coalition for Hormuz. The draft UN Security Council resolution and maritime coalition proposal are not just diplomatic theater, they are prerequisites for a sustained military campaign. A counter-reading is that Iran's attacks are calibrated to fracture the US Gulf alliance by making the cost of US presence unbearable for the UAE. This reading is weaker because the UAE's use of Israeli air defenses and Hariri's condemnation suggest the attacks are solidifying an anti-Iran bloc, not breaking it. And to wrap up, the OISIN indicators and dual lens predictions, Watch for a Sentinel-1 pass over Fujairah for new oil facility damage and vessel activity in the anchorage. Monitor Flight Radar 24 for UAE-bound cargo flights diverting from Dubai to Al Maktoum or Muscat in the 24 hours after the attack. And track the CENTCOM account and the Lloyd's MIU daily advisory for any update to the Strait of Hormuz threat level or new escort convoy schedules. Looking at the predictions through a status quo lens, within 24 hours, the US will announce that Project Freedom has escorted at least three more commercial vessels through the strait. The Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through May 8th, with no direct Iran-Israel kinetic exchange, and before Wednesday's UN Security Council session, Hezbollah will launch at least two more explosive drones at IDF positions in southern Lebanon. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, within 48 hours, Iran will strike a US-escorted commercial vessel in the Gulf of Oman, causing casualties and triggering a US retaliatory strike on an IRGC naval base. With low confidence, before May 7th, Israel will conduct a unilateral strike on an Iranian energy facility, citing the UAE attacks as justification, without prior US approval, with low confidence. And within 72 hours, Hezbollah will launch a surface-to-air missile that downs an Israeli helicopter over southern Lebanon, killing senior IDF officers, with low confidence. That concludes this SITREP. For more, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_sitreps. This is Mike Radish signing off from Jerusalem.